Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
So if you were here with us last Sunday, you heard Tim kick off our autumn series, Knowing God More, which is a part of our larger series for the year, looking after more of God. So how do we receive more than we could ever ask for or imagine? And in Knowing God More, Tim looked at our key passage of 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11. And in this passage, it talks about what it means to know God. So as Tim broke it down for us, both in 2 Peter and in our series, when we say we want to know God more, we don't just mean we want to know in our head, understand God, know the theory, kind of have read the Bible, nor do we want to just know what the right thing is to do, to find some kind of tick box to check off. But what knowing God means is firsthand experience or relationship with God. So both in 2 Peter and in our series, when we say we want to know God more, we mean we want more relationships, something deeper, a more firsthand experience of who God is and what he can do in our lives. And so as we take a deeper look at 2 Peter today, I want to look at, as we seek to know God more, what starts to happen? What can we expect to start to click for us as we seek after knowing him more? And so what I'm going to do is we're going to go through our key passage together in full, and then we'll look specifically at the more available to us. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, and the words should be up on the screen behind me. So if you have your Bible, feel free to get it out. So starting in verse 1 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, it says, "This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." We just leave that there and walk off the stage. This is a really powerful passage, and I specifically want to look at one part of this passage, but before we get into it, just to give you a bit of context. So Peter is writing this letter, and as you can see from what we just read, there are a couple things on his mind. And from what we just read, you can see that one of the things is about developing the audience of a letter. So he's talking about, you know, add this to this and add in this area and grow in this area. So it's a lot of figuring out how to grow morally, how to live out this faith that they have accepted. And then if you go on in chapters 2 and 3, we see the audience is struggling with false teaching, or as we know it, fake news. And this has divided them. So they're seeing people step away, people that they have come to know dearly. They are losing them and they're experiencing that pain. And then in the third chapter, he encourages them to hold on to hope because a lot of them just want to give up. They look at their circumstances and they say, when is God coming back? I want out. And Peter encourages them, hold on to hope. And in this letter, you see these people struggling with all these different facets. But what Peter begins with in verses 1 and 2 is really significant. And I think something that we can draw from today. When Peter introduces his letter, he introduces himself and he gives a blessing. Both of these things were quite normal for apostolic letters. They normally did start with introducing who is writing it and then also give a blessing of grace and peace. But what Peter does, in advance of knowing that he is addressing a people who are trying to figure out how to live out their faith, who are dealing with division and false teaching, who are losing hold of hope, he says in verse 2, not just a general blessing, but a really specific one. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. He's not just saying grace and peace be with you. He is saying, as you come to know God better, as you get to know him through firsthand experience and relationship, I am saying, may you find more and more grace and peace. And I think today God wants to encourage each of you that you can have more and more grace today. You can have more and more grace the more you grow in knowing God. And because of what Christ has done for us, we know that we have all access to God. All we have to do sometimes is just step forward. So I'm going to talk about different areas where grace can impact our lives and encourage us in what Peter says and what other parts of Scripture say about how we can grab hold of that more grace by knowing God more. Now, grace is quite a big Christianese word. It can be very broad. Technically defined, it's grace is undeserved blessing, so getting what you do not deserve. And to be honest with you, I don't really know grace completely, which you might be like, well, why are we listening to you? But grace is so broad and it's so alive and it's so dynamic that I don't think we'll ever know what grace is big picture, that we'll ever have all the pieces of the puzzle. But there are elements to grace that interact directly with us as people who are created by God, as people who seek to be better people, seek to live in harmony with others, seek to know God more. So a few ways I think we see grace both in this passage and in our lives, I kind of want to look at each of those and how there might be opportunity to grow in grace in them. So the first one is, grace is something that meets us in our hard times and in our weaknesses. So we see this in chapters 2 and 3 of 2 Peter, where he's addressing the division in the church, the false teachings. They're feeling at a loss. They're going through a season of division. They're seeing people walk away, and they, like us, feel like family. So it would be as if you have seen a divide within your family or within your friendship group between people that you care about and walking away, that kind of pain. And it's not once, it's continually happening. And in chapter 3, we see them saying, you know, just when is God gonna come back? Help us out, relieve us of what is going on. They are feeling such oppression, such conflict with the culture around them that they're ready to just kind of give their hands up. They were running a race, and now they've kind of just laid on the ground, and they're just waiting for someone to pick them up and carry them over the finish line. And we can feel a similar way in our lives. As a Christian, it's easy to look before the difficult season and say, well, I know God was here. I believe God exists. I know he's real. And then to look to the future and say, I know there's hope. I still believe, but then there's this big chunk of time that I like to call the meantime. And I have tons of conversations with God where I'm like, I haven't lost my faith. I believe in you. But in the meantime, what am I supposed to do? And we can tell ourselves, you know, God is good. We can read the word. We can remind ourselves of all the things that we know in our head. And we can go through all the right motions. We can pray when we know we're supposed to pray. We can come to Sunday mornings and be present with people. But knowing God in that situation is knowing him in the meantimes. Because there wasn't pain before the season. You know, things were going really great. And then something happened, and you're having to go through it. And you know there's hope. You hope there's hope. But what about the days where you cannot swing your feet over the side of the bed and stand up in the morning? Where you just think, I cannot go back into that office and speak to my boss one more time. I don't have it in me. I am empty. Or God, where are you today? Where are you tomorrow? Because my situation hasn't changed. And we feel the heaviness. We feel our own weakness. Grace meets us in these places. In 2 Corinthians, we see Paul speaking about something that he struggled with for a long time. And there's a lot of debate about whether what he calls a thorn in his side is physical or mental or spiritual. But what we know is that Paul, an apostle sent by God, who had a real encounter with Jesus, has constantly throughout his life had something where he's saying, God, please take this away. Please take this away. Every day, please relieve me. And here in 2 Corinthians, we see God's response to it. Each time God said to Paul, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Now, it's hard for us to boast in our weaknesses, but there is something about this submission that Paul feels as he has come to God and called out and cried out time and time again. And he gets this word that my grace is all you need. I meet you in your weakness. There have been a few times in my life where I tend to run away from my problems. And by run, I mean get into a car and drive. And I had a few times where this would kind of be at night, I would start to like think about everything I was going through and I'd get really upset and I would just need to get away. So I'd jump in my car and I would drive somewhere without a plan, almost as if I could outdrive what was going on. And I would end up in some car park, in my car, just having it out with God. And I would just be asking him, why? Why are you letting this happen? Why aren't you fixing this? I pray to you about it every day. It's not getting any better. Please relieve me of this pain. And like I would shout at him. I would cry at him. I would plead with him. And I remember distinctly a couple of times as I did this, there was a moment that as I was pleading, God, please just make it stop. Please make it stop. That my pleas turned to praise. Like song switching on a radio. And it's not because I was super holy. I didn't pray or read my Bible before I jumped in the car. In fact, it usually came out of the end of a lot of unholy language and thoughts. I didn't have a certain posture in the car that made me think this. I was banging my steering wheel in tears, frustrated and confused and hopeless. And somehow this praise started to come out of me. That is grace. A moment of relief in the meantime. And I wish I could give you a fix-it-all. I wish I could give you a Band-Aid. And I don't know why we don't get relief sooner. I don't know why things get fixed sooner. But I do know that God promises us his grace is all we need. And that his grace will meet us in the meantime. We see it for the audience of 2 Peter. We see it for Paul. And we have a beautiful passage in Hebrews that I found as I was preparing for this talk. And I think it might be one of my new favorites. It's Hebrews 4:16. And what it says to us is, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Amen. Grace to help us when we need it the most. Do you need grace today? Come before, boldly before the throne of God, and you will receive the grace that you need where you need it the most. That's your word for today. That's what God wants to say to you. In the meantime, in the days where it's hard to stand on your own two feet, when you want to just kind of give up and you don't know why the season is going to end, if it ever is going to end, God has more and more grace for you. And you get that by knowing him in these times. By knowing God in the darkness and in your weakness, you receive more and more grace. And you know God in these times, not by telling yourself, I can't feel this way, I can't think this way, because I know in my head who God is, not by going through the motions, though sometimes that can help some people, but the key here is coming boldly before the throne of God. I didn't pray up before I got in the car. I didn't always feel 100% when I left the car. It wasn't about doing the right thing. I knew a lot of things, but that didn't really seem to help my circumstances. What made the difference is that I got on my knees and I banged my fist in front of the throne of God. I came near. If you are going through a difficult season or you feel like you are running on empty in the big and the small things, just tell God about it. Come to him with it. Because if you do, you will receive the grace that you need. You will be completely covered in more and more grace. Even if it's an everyday thing, there's no shame in that. I'm relying a lot on grace today. I'll be honest with you. If you heard Johnny's little spiel in the beginning, thanks, mate. I had this message change multiple times. You know, I haven't been feeling physically very well lately. This that's coming out of me right now is not me. This is an act of grace. Because I came before God and said, I can't do this. I can't do this. I don't have it in me. So when you feel like, I can't hold on to this marriage another day longer, God, I can't. I can't deal with this work situation for another day. Like, I have nothing in me. It makes me not want to get out of the bed in the morning. Lord, I can't face the news for another day. It just depresses me. Bring those to the throne of God in all of its mess and all of its baggage. Know him in your heaviness and your darkness and your weakness, and you will receive more and more grace. Hand it over to him because he wants it. Another way that grace works is grace is the work of the Spirit within us. We see in 2 Peter verses 5 through 7 and verse 10 as well, Peter goes on to talk about this kind of way that people can grow in their Christian faith. And if you look at it with the out of context, it kind of just looks like a tick list. Cool, I'm going to get some moral excellence, and then I'm going to move on to knowledge, and then I'm going to move on to self-control. And that is one way to look at it, but that is totally absent of the relationship that's going on. And this might be a newsflash to some of you in the room, but if you know in your gut that you want to be better at something, you want to be more fill in the blank, or you want to be just a better Christian, you know that you're not living in the fullness of who God has called you to be. First off, God has an incredible plan for you. Each and every one of you, the Lord has an amazing vision for you. He has called you to be something. And he is so happy to spend the rest of your life helping you find out what that is and not letting anything hold you back from it. But you cannot do it. That's right. Try as you might, you cannot be more kind, you cannot be more patient, you cannot be more gentle. And it's not because there's anything wrong with you, but it's because you're human. And you can be patient up until someone cuts you off in traffic. You know, you can be kind until one of your kids eats your leftovers and then you're like, oh, why are you here? Like Googling like adoption agencies. I don't know, maybe you're not protective over your food. I do know some people who are. So so it's, you know, there's a limit for us. It doesn't make us evil or bad, but it just means we need some help. And the glorious thing about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior is if you feel that you are a work in progress and you want to see yourself progress more, Jesus Christ has died for you. He has covered every big, small, would've, could've, should've incident, sin that you have done. And he has said that you are clean in God's eyes. And he has made it so you can have a relationship with God so that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is dwelling within us. Gosh, do we value that enough? God's Spirit is dwelling within us, which means that when I try to be more kind to the people who are standing in the middle of the footpath and just staring at their phone, and I want to kind of like shoulder check them as I walk on, that it's not just me trying to do that, but God's Spirit is helping me. God's Spirit is working within me. You are not alone in trying to be better. Even better at what you do, your skills. Better at being a better partner or parent or just the man or woman you want to be. There is grace, and that grace is the fact that you don't have to do it on your own. That it's not dependent on you and how good of a day you're having. But we can go to the Holy Spirit within us and say, hey, I want to work on this. I want to see this change in me. Please help me. And kind of hand over the reins and let the Spirit do what the Spirit does best. But to do that, we have to not just know God, but let him know us. Sometimes we want to give God our best, but we hold on to our failures. But it's the failures, the grace in that, of the Holy Spirit looking at that and saying, that's all right, we'll do better. Let me work on that. Let's work on that together. Receive more and more grace to become all that God has called you to be, all that you hope to be, all that you want to see change in you by knowing God more, by knowing the Spirit within you, trusting Him and partnering with Him. And all that looks like is a simple conversation of saying, here's this junk that I don't really want to let anyone see. I don't want to let anyone else touch, but I'm going to give it to you to work on. And if I'm honest with you, as I say this to you, I have to admit this is the hardest kind of grace for me to receive. I'm really hard on myself. I like to do things really well. And I remember having a conversation with God, and He was telling me to just kind of rest in something and let Him have it. And my response to Him was, don't you know who I am? Don't you know that if you give me an inch, I'll take a mile? If you tell me to stay still, I'll just like backslide and fall into a pit of laziness and I'll never get out again. And instantly, strongly, but with love, the Lord rebuked me and said, I know exactly who you are, don't you? And I was reminded of how different I am from the angry, scared, lost 16-year-old girl who didn't know Jesus to how I am today, to how I was even a few years ago. We ask God sometimes, don't you know what I'm like? And His Spirit within us says, yeah, I do actually. Let me show you. That is grace. So if you want more and more grace to not just be known by God, to see how much He loves and accepts you, but to know what His Spirit within you can do, if you want to see yourself grow in your gifts and your skills, spiritual and practical, to be the man and woman that you feel God is calling you to be, or even if you don't have a relationship with God, you're saying, I don't know Him, you can still know His freedom and hope and love and grace by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you have that Spirit and you are on a journey, because it is about progress and not perfection. And it is the Holy Spirit who gives us that grace. So if you want more and more grace, know God, trust Him with all of you, and trust Him enough to work in partnership with Him as the Holy Spirit takes these things on. Don't carry it on your own. And finally, grace is what helps us love others as God loves us. I don't think it's a coincidence that this tick list ends with love for everyone. And in John, we see a really powerful word from Jesus Himself as He speaks to the disciples. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We're not meant to keep this to ourselves. And I feel like you guys probably know that in your head. But the love that you experience is tied deeply to the grace that you experience. And so if we want to show more grace to others, more and more grace to others, which represents to them who we belong to, we have to have a firsthand experience of that ourselves with God. If we are not willing to accept the grace that God is offering us, how are we expected to show it to others? In 1 John 4:19, I love this verse. It's short, but I'll never forget it. It says, we love each other because He loved us first. That's right. I show grace to others because I've been shown grace first. And this is grace beyond a technical definition, beyond a going through the motions and ticking boxes. It is a relational, a firsthand experience of grace. And we all know it's not easy to love other people. We want to put things in boxes, good and bad, biblical, not biblical. You know, you are a good person for me. You are a bad person for me. But life is messy and there's a lot of gray. Trust me, I know I got a theology degree because I thought I would get answers, and I did not come out with as many as I thought I would. I came out with more questions, and I went in thinking I was going to fill these boxes of what was correct and what was not correct so that I could then do my best in teaching other people that. And while there's some things that are in certain boxes, you know, Jesus is Son of God, correct. We can stand on that. There are some things I realize are not going to fit into a box. And I am doing a disservice to God's grace. I'm not showing it to others by trying to force it into one. Sometimes we've got to say we don't know. Sometimes we got to love the person without approving of what they choose to do. That's grace. But we can't show that to other people if we don't accept that God has done that for us. If we don't allow knowing him more, if we don't allow knowing that firsthand experience of what he has given to us. So if you find yourself struggling to show grace to others, you know, your neighbor who has a really different Brexit opinion than you, you gotta show them grace, honestly, because they have their own reasons and you may not agree with them, but it doesn't mean it doesn't matter to them, that it's not tied deeply to their heart and their concerns. So we do have to show them grace, love them anyways, talk to them anyways, instead of trying so hard to fit them into the box we think they should go in because we know it's right. We don't know everything. My first firsthand experience of grace is when I was back in uni in the States. So I was like 21, 22, and I was going through a difficult time, and I had been at a Christian worship evening with the CU I was a part of. We call them Christian ministries in the States. And I left abruptly during the meeting because I had a lot going on in my head. I was feeling a lot of things, and I couldn't face it. And so I left, and I went out, and I found anything I could to make me feel better. And because I could not drive myself back home, I had to call my former mentor to come pick me up. And I knew what would happen next is the next morning, I'd have to sit down with the pastors of my campus ministry, and we'd have to have a talk. And I wasn't just a member of this organization. I was a small group leader. I was leading part of their discipleship course. Like, I was ingrained in the structure of this organization. And I knew that when we sat down that next morning, all of that would be taken from me. And it felt justified in a way. I shouldn't have done what I'd done. I could admit that. Still, I can admit that. It wasn't the best choice. And so it made sense to me. And I prepared myself to lose all of that. Because why would you want someone who made those kind of choices like leading other people? It made a lot of sense. But when I sat down with my campus pastors, Vinny and Jennifer, the first thing out of their mouths was, okay, tell us how you really are. Their primary concern was getting me support, was seeing where I was at, was having an open, honest conversation before they even got to the practical things. And then when they did, they didn't take things away, because what they recognized was that Stephanie, who made that choice, is not indicative of Stephanie as a person. That the moment didn't define me, and they believed more in who I was, big picture, than how I had behaved. And so instead of taking things from me, they brought alongside my mentor to co-lead the group with me. And that was more about having me supported so that I wasn't taking on other people's burdens on top of clearly junk I hadn't worked out. That was more about supporting me than about punishing me. And their whole mindset was about growth and support. That is grace in human form. And I was blown away because I had never experienced that before. All I had been taught is you mess up and you're gone. And it is because of that experience that when I am faced with the opportunity or the challenge to show grace to someone else, I do think of them. I have been faced with situations where I have had to ask people to step down, where I have had to deal with teams, where people have made choices that I'm the stop. I'm the person that has to deal with it. And every single time I think back to how they acted, and I make sure my heart shows first and foremost grace before dealing with the practicalities. This is the same thing with God. I don't know if you've ever had one of those experiences on a human level, but you have had that experience on a spiritual level. When God sent Jesus to die for you, when he put his Holy Spirit in you, and every time that Spirit does a work within you, you experience that grace. So you have these firsthand experiences. So share that with others. Be that for others so that they can know who you belong to. They can know who God is. They can understand his love. And if you're struggling to show that, we're not perfect. Lord knows I still do. Then come to him. If you want to have more and more grace to show to others, know God more. Draw near to him. Know his character. Vinny and Jennifer could only give to me what they had experienced and that they could pour out. So if you need to be filled up to pour out more and more grace, go to the source, which is God. Ask him about his character. Read more about grace in the Bible. Seek to know more and more of him, and you will find his love and his grace, and then you will be able to then give that to others. You can have more and more grace right now, today. It's not something you got to prep for or be in a holy posture for. You just got to know God. And as we talked about, we know that all that means is relationship. So if that means coming into relationship for the first time, you can do that right now. Accepting what Christ has done for you. If that means coming back to a relationship that you've had for years, or maybe even just months, it's just a step forward with whatever you're carrying, with wherever you need more grace, and just bringing that before God and saying, hey, help me out. Please, I need you. Because in relationship, that's what you do. When you need someone to help you, you just bring whatever it is and you come to them and say, here I am. And you seek to know them, what they can give you, how they can help, how you can move forward together. God's the exact same way. So as the band comes up, we're going to enter a time of response. And I really want to encourage you. Like I said, grace is massive. And so there might have been something that came to your mind that I didn't even touch on. And that's great. But I want us, as we go into the first song, to spend a few moments first looking at where we might want to go in grace. So what came to your mind? What area might have been stirred up that you said, I would love to see that start to shift and change? Because God has more and more grace for you. So if you want more and more grace in the difficult times, draw near to the throne of God. Tell him what you need, and you will find grace to cover everything that you need. If you need more and more grace to help you be faithful in the practical living out of this, to be all that you want to be, know God. Let him know you fully. Give those parts of yourself that you're hiding away to him right now and receive more and more grace for them. Tell the Holy Spirit now what you want to see change and grow. And if you want to have more and more grace for others, ask God now to reveal to him how much he loves you, how much he loves maybe that person or that situation. Ask him to show you more experiences of grace so that you can then be that for other people. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you are a gracious God, that you're such an accessible God. Jesus Christ, thank you for being that invitation, that bridge, that one that allows us to commune with a holy God. And God, we know your word says that we will receive more and more grace as we grow in knowledge of you. So wherever everyone in this room is asked, Lord, whatever they're asking for, wherever they could use knowing you more, Lord, I speak over every situation, every relationship, every idea that has come into their head. And I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. As we come before you, God, reveal yourself to us so that we might know you more, know your grace more. God, we know we have barely scratched the surface. We're like cups barely full. So we say we are here and we are willing. Fill us up with more. You see the areas we need it the most. And so we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.